The following sermon is from Friday, February 20th, 2015.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And welcome to Temple Emmanuel, the house of God's frozen chosen. This is obviously an historic night for us. And I want to recognize not just our own members represented on our bima by our wonderful president, John Stryker, but so many guests from around the city who are joining us to welcome His Eminence, Timothy Cardinal Dolan, Archbishop of New York. Whether you are physically present with us tonight or joining us online, as I know many are, it is good to be in sacred community tonight. We live in frightening times. World leaders are struggling to coordinate an international response to a planet awash in violence. And many of us are reaching for a personal, spiritual response. I know I am. I would share with you that shortly after ISIS's horrific immolation of a Jordanian pilot, a congregant called, urging me to denounce the atrocity as antithetical to every core principle Judaism stands for. I was bewildered. Why make such a superfluous proclamation? Hadn't the whole world decried the act, one more in a series of murders prompting international censure and now military action? What more could my voice add? But then I read Timothy Cardinal Dolan's pointed condemnation of another ISIS atrocity, the beheading of 21 Egyptian Christians. There is, he observed, a coordinated effort on behalf of fanatics to see that true religion, which stands for friendship, peace, the dignity of the human person, and the sacredness of human life, is stamped out. The cardinal brought into sharper relief a threat often obscured by the bloodshed. In the wake of religious fanaticism, religion, too, becomes a casualty. At some point in his or her career, every member of the clergy is called upon to defend the efficacy of organized religion as a force for good. How many skeptics conclude from the holy wars of the past or the terrifying threat of Islamic extremism today, that faith, far from revealing a path toward harmony, only generates strife. The evidence, they claim, is on their side. ISIS and its barbarism, Europe's radicalized Muslims and their assault on Jews and Western ideals, Boko Haram's massacres and enslavements. This past week, we witnessed the murders of Christians and Jews only because they were Christians and Jews. Yet just as we repudiate the facile equation of all Islam with the brutality of its most radical exponents, so we reject such gross aspersion on our religious traditions. That congregant was right. What I thought was obvious isn't obvious at all. For religion's sake, we must condemn the atrocities committed in its name. Churches and synagogues, temples and mosques offer a gospel the world needs to hear, that God stands with the victim, not the aggressor, that the same divine spark burns in each of us, and that faith should ease human suffering, not cause it. And as a broad religious community, we believe that hastening the messianic redemption requires a clasping of hands, a linking of arms, a recognition that we are, as Martin Luther King preached, caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. To heal this broken world, we depend on one another more than we know. So let this be our mission, our purpose tonight, as we welcome with joy His Eminence Timothy Cardinal Dolan, Archbishop of New York, who with empathy and clarity, commitment and love, not only shepherds New York's Catholics, but convenes that critical conversation on religion's role in society. Indeed, he has become a mooring of stability amidst the turbulence. Last month, with outrage at the killing of Eric Garner and police officers Wenjin Liu and Rafael Ramos still roiling this city, Cardinal Dolan assembled a group of New York's faith leaders to remind us that ours would be the task of helping to heal this city. His presence tonight comes as we approach the 50th anniversary of the completion of the work of the Second Vatican Council, a watershed moment which brought Jews and Catholics together in partnership as never before. In fact, 40 years ago this month, as Nostra Aetate's 10th anniversary drew near, our senior rabbi emeritus, Dr. Ronald Sobel, preached at St. Patrick's Cathedral to honor the occasion. And tonight, we are blessed to have senior rabbi emeritus, Dr. David Posner, a great personal friend of the cardinal, join us on the Bima. As we gather together this Shabbat, may the supplication of our prayer book be true for us and one day for all creation. May religion spread its blessings among us and exalt all nations in righteousness. Amen. Now it is my rare privilege to introduce His Eminence Timothy Cardinal Dolan, Archbishop of New York. Cardinal Dolan was appointed New York's Archbishop by Pope Benedict XVI on February 23, 2009, and installed on April 15th of that year, having served previously as Archbishop of Milwaukee, named to that ministry by Pope John Paul II in the summer of 2002. Born in 1950, Cardinal Dolan was the first of five children of Shirley Radcliffe Dolan and the late Robert Dolan. In 1964, he began his high school seminary education at St. Louis Preparatory Seminary South in Shrewsbury, Missouri. His studies continued at Cardinal Glennon College, where he earned a Bachelor of Arts degree in philosophy. He then completed his priestly formation at the Pontifical North American College in Rome, where he earned a license in sacred theology at the Pontifical University of St. Thomas. Cardinal Dolan was ordained to the priesthood in June 1976, first serving as an associate pastor in Richmond Heights, Missouri, until 1979, when he began studies for a doctorate in American church history at the Catholic University of America. His doctoral dissertation addressed the life and ministry of Archbishop Edwin O'Hara, a founder of the Catholic Biblical Association. From 1983 to 1987, Cardinal Dolan returned to parish ministry in St. Louis, during which time he was also liaison for the late Archbishop John L. May in the restructuring of the college and theology programs of the Archdiocesan Seminary system. In 1987, His Eminence was appointed to a five-year term as secretary to the Apostolic Nunciature in Washington, D.C. He returned to St. Louis in 1992 as vice-rector of Kenrick Glennon Seminary, serving also as director of spiritual formation and professor of church history, and as adjunct professor of theology at St. Louis University. In 1994, he was appointed rector of the Pontifical North American College in Rome, where he served until June 2001. While in Rome, he was also a visiting professor of church history at the Pontifical Gregorian University and a faculty member in the Department of Ecumenical Theology at the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas. So the work of the cardinal in the area of seminary education has influenced the lives and ministries of countless colleagues in the priesthood. On June 19, 2001, the 25th anniversary of his ordination, then Father Dolan was named the Auxiliary Bishop of St. Louis by Pope John Paul II. In 2009 and 2010, he served as chairman of the Catholic Relief Services. He is currently a member of the Board of Trustees of the Catholic University of America and of the Pontifical Councils for Promoting New Evangelization and for Social Communications. In June 2009, Cardinal Dolan received the pallium, a symbol of his office as an archbishop, from His Holiness Pope Benedict XVI at St. Peter's Basilica. In November 2010, Cardinal Dolan was elected president of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. And on January 6, 2012, His Holiness Pope Benedict XVI announced that His Eminence was to be appointed to the College of Cardinals. He was so elevated 3 years ago this week. And then, of course, 2 years ago, Cardinal Dolan participated in the conclave that elected Pope Francis. Would you please join me in welcoming to the pulpit His Eminence Timothy Cardinal Dolan.
Shabbat Shalom. You honor me, Rabbi Davidson, and colleagues in the ministry and beloved congregation with this extraordinarily gracious invitation to be in this venerable historic temple for Sabbath is a gift for which I am most grateful. Not that I'm surprised, hardly. You see, since my arrival here in New York a half dozen years ago, I have found the embrace of the Jewish community to be extraordinarily warm and cuddly, most appreciated during weather like this evening's. And among the first to embrace me were Rabbi David and Sylvia Posner. So I feel very much at home here, everybody. And for once, at least, I'm not the only one wearing a skull cap, right? Temple Emmanuel. Let's think about that word for a minute, shall we? As a 7-year-old boy back home in Baldwin, Missouri, I was proud that I already knew a Hebrew word, Emmanuel. And even better, I knew what it meant. God is with us. I was envious, I recall, when a visiting priest came whose name was Father Emmanuel. And I wish that I had such a luminous name, one that no other Irish kid seemed to have. Emmanuel, God is with us. How you all should beam with joy and forgivable pride to belong to a temple with such a radiant title. The advances in friendship between us Jews and Catholics this past half century prompts all of us to praise Almighty God. Lord knows it was long overdue. It's a providential friendship that is especially cherished and appreciated here in New York, the metropolis dubbed the capital of the world by your friend, Pope St. John Paul II. I don't think any of us would have difficulty listing evidence of our enhanced friendship these recent decades. Oh, I'm thinking of such things as theological conversations and agreements, settled and respected inter-religious organizations, cooperation in community and international initiatives and in service and peace and justice, diplomatic relations between Israel and the Holy See, the celebrated visits of 4 pontiffs to Israel. The list could go on and on. But might I suggest that perhaps our most telling exhibit of friendship comes in our mutual awe at the truth behind that word, Emmanuel, and our conviction that both the Catholic and the Jewish families are bonded most intimately by our faith in the confession that, yes, you bet your life, God is with us. Emmanuel. Religious scholars far brighter than I'll ever be, Jewish and Christian alike, observe that Israel's belief that God is with us, Emmanuel, is of earthquake proportion in the human drama. You see, to people who had concluded that the deity was totally detached, completely beyond us, incomprehensible, aloof, radically and exclusively other, the Jews professed, Emmanuel, God is with us. To a world that wondered if God could even care or be concerned or console or cry, Israel replied, yes, haven't you heard? He is with us. To tribes that base their creed only on what the divine could produce or do or achieve or work magically, a God who could be bribed or manipulated or flattered, the Hebrew tribe responded, no, he simply is. He is with us. To residents of this planet who figured that everything was arbitrary, that life was a big mess, totally uncoordinated, that we were victims of a ruthless universe and a fickle deity, Israel countered, no, God is with us, and history is really his story. Emmanuel, God is with us. Here, at this pivotal corner of Fifth Avenue, overlooking a park called Central, in the shadows of titans in finance and communications and government and science and art and museums and wealth and education and healthcare and entertainment, right smack dab in the middle of life, here stands a temple with the name tag Emmanuel. God is with us. What unites you and us is not only the deep down conviction that yes, he is, but the imperative that we show the world, not only in such magnificent structures as this, but in our lives, in living stones, that God is indeed with us. As God is with us in Israel, in the law and the prophets, in the covenant, in our faith and tradition, and as we would add in Jesus Christ, so, and here's the imperative, we show a skeptical, fatigued world by our lives, by the vitality of our communities of faith, we show the world Emmanuel. We dare the world. If you doubt that he is with us, as, by the way, we hear a lot of you do, watch us, because we bear within his presence, his very life. How dare we claim that? But we do. Rabbi Davidson just said as much in his compelling call to worship this Sabbath evening. Churches and synagogues, he said, offer a gospel the world needs to hear. God stands with us. The divine spark burns within us. Remember? There it is again. Emmanuel. 15 blocks south of here stands another church, St. Patrick's Cathedral. You ever heard of it? If I were speaking there, they'd already be complaining that I had preached too long. A couple weeks after my arrival here in New York, an interreligious group of clergy thoughtfully hosted a welcome luncheon for me. David was there, Rabbi Posner. A luncheon for me, the new kid on the block. And after the meal, the pastor of Christ Church Methodist on Park Avenue rose to toast me. "Timothy," he began, "we at Christ Church Methodist are mad at you." Uh-oh, I thought, now what? I've heard that these New Yorkers could be in-your-face blunt, but this already? So he continued. "A while back, a benefactor arrived from out of town at Penn Station to visit me." This is the pastor of Christ Church Methodist giving the toast. "To visit me about a potential $1 million gift. He told the taxi driver to take him to Christ Church, and the cabbie took him to St. Patrick's Cathedral." "Cabbie," the millionaire protested, "this is not Christ Church." And the driver barked back, "Listen, Buster, I don't know much about religion. All I know is that New York, this is where Christ lives." Boy, I would have given that cabbie a great tip, folks, all right? I believe God does dwell at St. Patrick's Cathedral. I'm convinced he dwells here at Temple Emmanuel, at St. John the Divine, at the Abyssinian Baptist Church, at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian, and yes, at Christ Church Methodist. Because wherever his people worship in faith, in spirit, in truth, in love, Emmanuel, God is with us. Now, listen up. Because this is an attacked message. Because a good chunk of our world today concludes that, as a matter of fact, God does not dwell with us. And if he does, he sure doesn't dwell in synagogues, churches, or mosques. Such doubt is understandable, not only because our individual sin prompts people to consider our claim of Emmanuel to be shallow, hollow, hypocritical, but also because hideous actors who star in today's headlines and news alerts make toxic claims that their acts of hatred and violence and prejudice and division and oppression come from God? Anybody who claims that to behead, to bury alive, to rape, to vow to exterminate, to bully, to shoot, to bomb or to burn another of God's children is an act of religion, is a pervert in the literal sense of the word. The God who claims to be Emmanuel has revealed that his will is for peace and healing and amity and mercy, love and reconciliation, and to claim otherwise is a nauseating mortal lie. Our sacred duty, those of us who dare to claim that our religion is Emmanuel, God is with us, do not only denounce such obnoxious perversion, but we demonstrate to a world found in microcosm on Fifth Avenue that God's people welcome, never turn away, heal, never harm, embrace and never push aside, raise up and never knock down, act with mercy, never machetes, offer bread and wine, never bombs and kerosene. For as Yahweh spoke to Moses, as recorded in the 25th chapter of Exodus, which I understand is your scripture passage designated for this very Sabbath, build me a sanctuary so that I may dwell with you. There I shall come to meet you from the throne of mercy. A world tempted to consider Emmanuel to be a fib, wondering if masked extremists are indeed agents of the God who they thought had revealed himself to your ancestors as one of mercy and compassion, can look at us and know that those fanatics are agents of Satan, not of God, and point to Temple Emmanuel and St. Patrick's Cathedral and rebut, "Listen, Buster, I might not know much about religion, but I do know that here in New York, in these stones and in these people who worship within, God truly dwells." Shabbat shalom.